Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth podcast for yet another episode. We've got a slightly different episode this week. So this week's just me, just doing a solo one. I'm just going to talk a little bit about a subject which I think is very important and which most people don't really talk about, think about, kind of gloss over. And when it comes to health, I think it's a hugely important thing that's overlooked. So that is gut health. So that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. Not for too long, but just cover a little bit of the importance of it and why it's so important. The things that it's linked to, which pretty much everything can, you know, how we can try and improve our gut health, which is important. So, you know, we start off with thousands of years ago, Hippocrates, who's the father of medicine. He said all disease begins in the gut, and he's completely right. And it's still true today. But for some reason, over time, we've forgotten that. Now, whether it's accidentally forgot that, whether it's just over time, or whether it's a deliberate thing because it doesn't make money. You know, just telling people how to keep their gut healthy and the things we need to do to keep our gut healthy, they don't make money. It's simple things. It's what we're putting in our bodies, and it doesn't make money. And the pharmaceutical industry, they need to make money. And what do they need to do that? They need medications. And if we accept that every single illness that we have comes from the gut, starts in the gut, and in order to prevent it or to reverse it, we need to just heal our gut, that takes out the need for pretty much all of the medications they produce. So this is why it's not talked about. And this is why it's been, you know, in inverted commas, forgotten. Because, you know, I don't really think it's been accidentally forgotten. I don't think it's just disappeared over time. It's that, you know, they want money. I mean, even when you go back in more recent times, only hundreds or so years ago, they still were aware of this. It's in more recent times, as all this money has appeared, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, and all these big corporations have sprung up and they've been able to produce all these drugs. And that's when we've gone away from the fact that everything comes from the gut. And, you know, that's what we try to get back to. That's what we're trying to educate people on. That's what I look at when I'm working with clients, is that we need to look at your gut health. Everything comes from there. If we can get your gut health right, everything else will follow. And, you know, for lots of people, they can find that hard to really think how that's going to work, how the mechanism's going to work. You know, like, okay, if I've got a, let's just think of a random condition, like, say, asthma, or, you know, I've got cancer or whatever. And people think, well, you know, how's my gut health maybe relating to that? Maybe they've got, you know, cancer in a different part of their body, or, you know, they suffer from arthritis in their joints, and they think, how's that going to relate to my gut? But it does, because everything begins there. And putting that right does reverse these conditions. So it's just trying to help people to understand about why that happens and get people back talking about it and looking at it. All you have to remember is that the best way to fix any problem, this isn't just health, any problem, the way to fix it is to go and find what's causing the problem and put that right. But what modern medicine does is it ignores what's causing the problem and it just tries to cover it up with something. So it's like, let's say in a bathroom, someone's put the plug in and they've left the tap running and it's overflowing. Modern medicine, with their treatment of drugs, they're just mopping the floor. They're just trying to clean up the floor. But the water keeps coming. What you want to do, the approach we have of going to the source and treating the gut, that is like going in, turning off the tap, and then clearing up. And it's a lot easier, and actually does clear it up then. So that's the way that we have to look at it. And we have to understand a little bit about how the body works. So our body is basically just filled with microbes. You've heard probably about the gut microbiome, but our whole body has a microbiome. And it all begins from the gut and comes from there. And keeping that balanced is what keeps us healthy. And having it unbalanced is where we start to get issues. So our body is filled with, all the time, with bacteria, with viruses, with parasites, with fungi. All of these things are in our body everywhere. all the things you get. So like E. coli, we have E. coli in our body all the time. You know, we have Candida in our body all the time. All of these things are there constantly. But when our body's balanced and everything's kept in check, absolutely fine. They actually have beneficial jobs they do for us. But when our body becomes unbalanced, then certain ones can start to grow too much, overgrow, we're unbalanced, and then they can start to cause issues. And if we can just get everything back to balance, we can sort out those issues rather than just attacking the one thing. So let's say in the example of fungi, say someone has a fungal overgrowth. The reason they've got fungal overgrowth is because their microbiome is unbalanced. They've got too much toxins coming into their body. Everything's been unbalanced, and that's why it's overgrown. So what we need to do is look at the toxic load on their body and try to rebalance their microbiome. But what they'll get is just medication, which will just attack that one fungi and try and kill it off. But that doesn't fix the problem. You know, they've still got all the issues they had to begin with. So that's why it's a different way of looking at it. That's just one example. And another thing they've discovered, which they're discovering more recent times about bacteria, is that they actually have the ability to change, kind of transform from one form to another. So, you know, that they've found all these different forms of bacteria and they're labeling them all and, oh, this is there, this is there. But actually, it appears that they can actually all change, interchange between each other in different types of bacteria. So, you know, if we have an overgrowth of something, we don't necessarily have to kill it all off. If we can balance out our body, you know, some of them are going to change back to what they should be and have them doing the right job. They all keep each other in balance. So, you know, there's a lot that we're still discovering about this stuff, but there's also a lot that we've known for a long time and has been completely and utterly forgotten. While we're on that subject of talking about bacteria, one of the main things that's really, and I talk about this a bit and I always get a lot of pushback and a lot of hate for it, but one of the biggest things that's causing these issues, one of the biggest toxic loads on our bodies, on our guts, and on our health, and our microbiome, is medications and antibiotics especially. You know, people think of antibiotics as a good thing, think of medication as a good thing. There are cases where perhaps they can be helpful, perhaps in a small amount of situations, maybe they're needed because someone's reached such a desperate position. Overall, they're not really needed, and not just not needed, they make it way worse. Antibiotics especially. So what they do is they don't even actually kill the bacteria. You know, people think antibiotics kills it, but they turn it into something called an L-form bacteria, which means it has no cell wall. And this is actually potentially more dangerous for us because they can now go in and out of all different tissues and areas of the body freely. And, you know, if there's a poor environment in our body, then they can start to grow and proliferate into types of bacteria that we don't want and that can cause an issue. So it doesn't even actually get rid of it. It just changes the form of the bacteria with the antibiotics and also of the bacteria that we want to keep. It attacks everything and it just further unbalances it and is toxic load. And then medications, you know, they are, again, a toxic load in our body that we don't want in them. Lots of them have heavy metals in them and other toxins, which we then need to try and get rid of in our body. So they are one of the biggest causes. You know, you can really trace back this kind of increase in health issues and a real decrease in gut health has increased over generations. And basically since the Second World War and when we really began, antibiotics were kind of rolled out and medication was kind of used more and vaccinations and things like this. And since then, real downturn in health. And it's coming from our gut because it's being damaged and it's passed on by generation to generation as well, getting progressively worse and worse. So that is one of the main causes. And the role of our gut microbiome, the microbiome specifically in our gut, is to protect us from toxins. And to a small amount, it can do that. But what we're doing is we're overloading it. There's so many toxins coming in now. It can't deal with it. And it's getting damaged. And then obviously the more it's damaged, the less it can deal with. And we're just having these toxins flowing into our bodies and causing all of these issues and just damaging our gut even more, to where things that we would have been able to handle fine before, we now can't even handle. You know, you look at things like food intolerances and stuff like that. So this is why, like we say, everything just comes back to that gut. You think about anything you take into your body, as in, you know, food and drink, but even a lot of medications through the mouth, where's the first place they're going to go? They're going to go to your gut first. That's where they interact with your body. And so that is where we need to keep it healthy, because that's where, you know, everything comes from. If you have a healthy gut, you're very unlikely to be getting ill. But if you have a damaged gut, you're going to get ill from everything and you're going to be constantly ill. So that's really what we've got to look at. And another thing that happens that really compounds the problem, it just basically stacks on top of each other, is that when our gut's damaged, not only are we allowing all these toxins in, but also we can't properly digest and absorb food. So you'll see that, well, say you, I do see this quite a bit with people, depends who you're talking to, whether you see a lot, but a lot of people who they've started to look at their health and they started to eat better. But they have deficiencies in certain nutrients and vitamins, and they can't understand why, because they're eating plenty of it. They're eating a better diet now. But the issue is that while they're eating better, they've removed their toxic load, they're eating some better foods, but they've not fully healed their gut. And so their absorption is still poor. And so this is why a lot of people have all these deficiencies. Just because you're, you know, if you look at the nutrition labels for everything you eat, you might say, oh, I'm getting enough of this. You know, I'm getting enough vitamin D and vitamin K and magnesium and iron. But just because you're putting it in your mouth doesn't mean you're getting it. You will not absorb everything in it anyway. But if you have a damaged gut, even lower. So you're going to end up with nutrient deficiencies. You know, there's a specific example of a guy I spoke to recently, and he's eating what looks like a really good diet, but low in magnesium. Or always low in magnesium and getting plenty in his diet. He can't absorb it. And that's the reason why he needs to fix his gut more. So, you know, that's another issue we have. And then another layer on top of that is that our gut actually produces a lot of vitamins, minerals for us. So it produces all the B vitamins for us, you know, including B12, we can produce our own, vitamin K2, produce amino acids. And when it's damaged, it can't produce them properly either. So we're potentially, if we're eating a bad diet, we're potentially not getting enough from our diet. Then we're not absorbing it well. Then we're not producing what we should do. And, you know, you can very easily see where that's going to go. Huge deficiencies in these nutrients and these minerals, plus a damaged gut. You know, what chance have we got for staying healthy? I would say not too much. Our gut also produces a lot of our hormones and neurotransmitters as well. So 95% of our serotonin and about 50% of our dopamine are all produced in our gut. So, you know, they're to do with neurological things. So if we have a damaged gut, we're going to struggle to produce serotonin, we're going to struggle to produce dopamine. They're going to lead to things like depression, anxiety, and things like that, because we're not able to produce them properly and we're not able to use them properly. So it leads to even more issues down the line. So as you can see, all these things are stacking up and they all come from poor gut health, and they're all going to start to just make us much sicker, and we're going to struggle to really get better. And then what are we going to do? In the modern society we live in, we're getting sick. What do? We go to the doctor. Okay, what's the doctor going to do? He's going to prescribe you more medication. Okay, what was one of the first things we talked about that's causing problems and is increasing our toxic load? It was medications. So we just start the cycle again, and it's getting worse each time. So this is why when people have medications, they end up with more side effects from the medication. They need another medication for it, because they're not fixing the problems. They're covering it up with something that's actually then increasing their toxic load, making it worse. You will never get better. You're only going to get worse. And so this is why, stop with all that. Stop trying to cover up symptoms. Look at root causes. Fix your gut and you start to fix your problems. And that's what we need to fight. So another thing that's really important for us to talk about and understand is where our gut microbiome comes from. So a baby actually gets their microbiome, the beginning of it, when they're born. So literally as they're being born, they get it. So they get it from their mother. Literally as they're being born, they literally swallow bacteria as they're in the vaginal canal, as they're being pushed out. That's their first gut microbiome they get. They don't actually have it while they're in the mother's womb. And it's actually been shown that children born by cesarean section, because obviously that doesn't happen, they don't go through a channel, they will have a worse gut microbiome and be, you know, exposed to more issues because of that. And then the next stage where babies get it is from breast milk, from being breastfed. So this is why it's important to try and breastfeed for women, because that is your build. It's not just nutrients you're giving your child. You're also giving them their gut microbiome, which is super important for their long-term health. And obviously, you know, nowadays we have formula milk, and, you know, that really back in, I think maybe the 90s, it was 80s, 90s, became a big thing. And that was really pushed. And guess what? A lot of those kids who are growing up with that, they've got really damaged guts, and they're having lots and lots of health issues. And then they're going to pass that on to the next generation. Because obviously if the mother has a poor gut microbiome, she's passing that on to her baby. So if the mother's health is really bad, then even if she's breastfeeding, she's not even passing good microbiome on to her baby. So you have to really think, if you really want to look after the health of your kids, then you really need to look at these things, and you really need to make sure you're optimizing your own health and doing everything you can to help your child. Because the start they get in life, it's going to have a huge effect. You know, you can recover things when they get older. You can work on things and try and restore their gut. But it's a lot harder. If you could just start off on the right foot, it's going to be a lot better. So, you know, that's where it comes from to begin with. And then as we then start, babies move on to food, and obviously then what they're actually eating and their environment continues to affect their gut microbiome. So we need to get them onto the right foods. So our immune system has 80 to 85% of it in the gut wall. So again, we're talking about getting ill. So our immune system is in our gut. That is where the majority of it is. So a damaged gut, what's that going to be? It's going to be a damaged immune system. We're not going to be able to fight off anything. So we've already got these toxins coming in because we've got a damaged gut. And also we've got a poorly functioning immune system. That's a recipe for disaster. Of course we're going to be ill. Of course we're going to have issues. One of the things to actually notice about with people with a severely damaged gut is that when they get infections and viruses, they won't always come out in a cold or fever. So if you come out in a fever, that's actually a good thing. That means your immune system's working. Now, obviously, you don't want a fever to go too high because it can be dangerous too high. But the fact that you've got a fever, that's your immune system working. A fever that's one of the tools that our body uses, our immune system. But if your immune system and your gut are that badly damaged, you can be full of infection, but you're not showing any signs. There's no fever. You've not got runny nose and a cold because your immune system is so badly damaged, it can't even function. So, you know, if you are someone who's ill alone, you've got poor gut health, and if you've, say, been to the doctors for a blood test for something and they've found that you've got a load of infection and you're not showing any symptoms, that is really bad. And that means you really need to address your gut health because your immune system's not working. So you need to address that. Absolutely. So food allergies are an example of, you know, with our gut health. Nowadays, everyone has food allergies and food intolerances. I can't eat this, can't eat that. You know, you get your testing done about, oh, what am I allergic to? It's not, people aren't allergic or intolerant to anything. They just have poor gut health. So what's happening is your gut is so damaged that you're eating these foods and parts of the foods are getting through your gut walls that shouldn't. They're being attacked and you're having these symptoms and coming out in them. If you can heal your gut, you will be able to eat foods that you thought you were intolerant to. So you have to look at it differently. It's not just, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are lots of foods that you shouldn't eat because they're not good for you, and they're not good for your health and not good for your gut health. But there's lots of foods that you actually could eat if you healed your gut first. It's not that, oh, I just happen to be born intolerant to lactose or intolerant to gluten. No, your gut is damaged, and that's why you're showing an intolerance to these things. You're not just born with it. It's your poor gut microbiome, and if you can fix that, you would be able to consume some of those foods. Obviously, like I said, if they're ones that are bad for you, then obviously consuming a decent amount of them is then going to damage your gut again. So don't do that. But, you know, that's something that we have to think about with it. So one of the things that's key for helping our gut, helping our immune system and repairing is cholesterol. And obviously that's something that's kind of demonized nowadays. It's, we're starting to get some good information and good research that's fighting back against it, because it's all just a myth, you know, about cholesterol. But unfortunately, it's stuck around for a long time. We're starting to fight back on it. So we need to stop people being scared of cholesterol. You need to be getting cholesterol. All of the cells in our body, pretty much all the cells in our body, are made from cholesterol. You need cholesterol. And our body is constantly replenishing itself. You know, it's constantly, cells are being made and dying off in everything. You know, our organs are remade every so often. Our bones, you know, are remade. It's, you know, our body doesn't just stay the same. It's constantly going through a cycle. And you need the building blocks for that. And cholesterol, protein are the building blocks for that. So we need that. You know, things like thyroid issues as well, that is all from gut health. And again, that's something where people would say, well, you know, that's thyroid, is a different part of the body. How's that linked to gut health? You know, but it is a damaged gut. Again, it's allowing toxins through into your body. You've got a high toxic load. Iodine is being displaced from the thyroid hormones, and it's allowing in, it's being replaced by things like fluoride, bromine, chloride. They replace the iodine, and then your body can't use the thyroid hormone you've got, and you get thyroid deficiencies. So it's all these toxins come in. So again, from the gut, otherwise the gut would be preventing them getting through. You know, you've got adrenal fatigue. That is literally your body being like, I can't handle this. Like, you're hitting me with all these toxins. The gut's damaged. It's laying through all of this. The immune system's damaged, and it just can't cope. And that's adrenal fatigue. It's literally just exhausted. You need to give your body a break. And then obviously we're looking at sexual hormone related ones, such as endometriosis, PCOS, things like this. Again, it's gut health. You know, your gut is where your hormones are made. You're having these toxins coming in, it's messing up your hormones. Your gut's not working properly, it's not functioning, and it's causing all these things. Infertility as well. Gut health. You go back to your gut health, you get it right, suddenly you're able to conceive and be fertile again. It's, you know, it's amazing the things that you can sort just by looking at your gut health. And again, you wouldn't link it. You wouldn't think hormonal issues, nothing to do with my gut, but they are. Another thing that's to do with the gut is something I spoke about recently on TikTok with some videos that got a few people talking and again pushing back against it, was about gallstones. Gallstones. People don't understand what gallstones are. People think you've got gallstones from eating fat. You don't get gallstones from eating fat. What a gallstone is so your liver is one of the things that detoxifies most things in your body. And so all these toxins that are getting through your gut that you don't want there, they come to the liver, and the liver will detoxify them and get them out of the body. How it does that? It makes them into a little ball, wraps it up in bile, sends it through into the gallbladder. It is a gallstone, but they're tiny, so it's fine. Sends them through. You eat fat. Gallbladder empties into the gut. These stones come out with your stools, detoxified, it's out of the body. But if we have a huge toxic load, it's got loads and loads to be getting out of the body. It's got too much to deal with. Plus, we're probably in a low-fat diet, so the gallbladder is not being emptied. Often, the stones start to build up in there. As they're sat in there, they start to attract bits of calcium. They start to grow in size, sharp edges. And then eventually, you know, our body tries to get them out. They become too big. They start blocking up the tube of duodenum to the gut. And they cause all kinds of issues. And that's a gallstone then, when you have the issues, when you have the pain. And, you know, again, we were talking about, you know, them wanting to just whip your gallbladder out as soon as you have a gallstone attack, which is ridiculous. And, you know, when you're in pain and hurting, the gallstone's actually already left your gallbladder. When you get the pain, it's left. It's on its way out of the body. It's going to hurt, but it's going to come out. And so there's not even any point taking the gallbladder out at that point. It's too late. But, you know, that's from our gut health. We've got all these toxins coming through our gut because it's not working properly. And it allows this build up. There's too much for the liver trying to get rid of. We're not eating fat. It builds up into a gallstone and we have issues. So these are all the same thing. You know, then our lungs are the next detoxifying organ. And again, a poor gut means that there's too much coming through, getting into our blood that shouldn't be. That's going to the lungs to be detoxified, but it's more than what the lungs can really deal with. And it causes things like asthma, COPD, other things like that, bronchitis. You know, and again, we don't link these things. But that is what's causing them. And it's all from our gut health. We fix our gut, we fix them. You know, and again, going back to medication, just a little point on medications, asthma, before they introduced medications for asthma, asthma was a non-deadly disease. So asthma was very mild, and no one died from asthma. They introduced medications for it. Now it's a deadly disease. You can die from a severe asthma attack. Reasons for that, we're going to, on other episodes, we're going to go deeper into specific conditions. So we'll talk about that on another one, but that's something to bear in mind. You know, poor gut health causes, you know, we talked about neurological issues before with the serotonin and dopamine. Things like autism, ADHD, depression, schizophrenia, they're all from gut health. You know, the gut is called the second brain in the body. That's what people refer to it as, because it so closely affects our mental health. And so a poor gut is going to lead to poor mental health, and it's linked to all these things. You know, any of these people that have these things, like, you know, you look at kids with autism and ADHD, this is one of the ones I'm going to go into detail on in a future episode, probably with Barry. We'll do one where we're going to talk on autism and ADHD. All of these people that have this, you know, depression, anxiety as well, they all have poor gut health, all of them. And now you may say, well, does the poor gut health cause the autism, ADHD, or is the poor gut health caused by the autism? You know, the chicken and the egg, what comes first? But it is the poor gut health that comes first, because we know, because if you can correct the gut health, you can reverse these conditions. And again, that's controversial. Lots of people, you know, on the autism lines try and say, oh, you can't reverse autism. It's nothing to do with diet and all of this. But, you know, it is, and it happens. And we see people doing it all the time. So it is linked to that. And that is what comes first. It's the gut health causes it. And so addressing it, just as I said, all disease begins in the gut. You might sense people will say, how can all these conditions be linked to gut health? But it's all linked to it. All disease begins in the gut. That phrase holds true. This is why we have to look at gut health. Something goes wrong and people think, oh, you know, I'll take a pill for that. I'll go to the doctor and just get something to cover up. No, look at your gut health first if you're getting any issues. That's the first place that I always look with clients. Look at the gut health, look at the diet, look at the symptoms they've got. It's always gut health. So before I kind of finish, I'm just keeping it short this week. I'm going to talk a bit about what we should avoid and what we should eat in our diet. Because diet, there's lots of things to take into account. There's environmental toxins, there's all these other things. But one of the easiest things that we can address is our diet. You know, that's one of the things that's affecting our gut the most. You know, people eat every day, multiple times every day. So that's one of the easiest ways that we can start to correct our gut health or to keep it healthy in the first place. Obviously, there's other stuff that we can get into another time in terms of environment. But you know, one of the things we have to avoid, and it's something we talk about all the time, processed carbohydrates. Avoid the processed carbohydrates. You know, you're looking at your cereals, your crisps, and anything that's made from flour, made from sugar, all of these things, you want to avoid. They are all going to be toxic to your body. You do not want them. They are going to damage your gut health. You know, they're going to feed the bacteria that you do not want growing and overgrown, that's going to cause issues. They're going to damage your gut lining. So steer clear of them. You know, things like grains, all grains, stay away from grains, legumes, starchy vegetables, stay away from them. Again, sugar. Sugar really feeds the bad bacteria, and they're really going to feed off that and off starch. You know, things that vegetables that are high in starch, they're going to feed off that too. When it comes to protein, plant proteins are not the best thing for you. And, you know, the vegans are going to be up in arms about that and not happy, but they're not. Plant proteins are harder for us to absorb, and they're not as useful to us because we're not getting all the amino acids we need. And they come with things that can cause issues in our gut as well, that, you know, we're not built to absorb them. Our body's just not built to absorb them, which it doesn't matter if it upsets people, it's just a fact. So we don't really want to be having plant proteins. And also lactose is something we need to be careful of, because a lot of people have issues with lactose, and that can damage your gut health too. So that's another thing that you want to avoid. What you want to eat is things like meat and fish. So we want to get our protein from animal proteins, not plant proteins. Animal proteins come in the correct form that we need. They're easily absorbable. They have the amino acids we need. They're packed with vitamins and nutrients we need, and all in the correct form. You know, they come with animal fats, which give us our fat-soluble vitamins, which are super important. Vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K, and K2, the correct form. We need all them, and they're perfectly there in animal products. So meat and fish, eggs as well. Eggs, brilliant for us again, plenty of nutrients, exactly what we need. And fermented dairy. Obviously, before I said about lactose, we want to avoid lactose. Fermented dairy, if you look at any traditional cultures that have dairy, that were healthy and had dairy, it's fermented. And it's also not pasteurized. You know, the milk that we get in the in your supermarket, and even a lot of the products made from milk, they're using pasteurized milk. All of the fat's taken out of it, and then they give it to you. Even the full-fat milk, it's had a load of the fat skimmed off. It's not naturally full fat. You know, you want to get raw milk if you want that, but still, you want stuff fermented. It's going to be much easier on your gut. It's going to be giving you beneficial bacteria, and also the lactose is basically taken out by the fermenting process. So fermented dairy is much better. Non-starchy fresh vegetables, for those who want to include plants, obviously, non-starchy ones, and as fresh as possible. So the fresher they are, the better they are for you too. Because ones which are not fresh, which have been stored for a long time, have come from far away, guess what they've got in them? Chemicals, pesticides, a higher toxic load, which we don't want. So fresh as possible, and fruit needs to be ripe. If fruit's unripe, it's going to have, again, more of the sugars that we don't want in it, and it's not going to be as good for you as if it's ripe. And again, on the lower glycemic end for fruits, so things like berries and things like that, that you can have. Again, if you're someone that does include some form of carbs in your diet, natural raw honey as well is something that can be included if that's what you choose to have. But again, natural raw, not processed. The things that we really need to avoid is these processed foods, because they've got stuff added to them, which is the same reason that if you're going to eat plants, avoid ones which are, you know, from South America and have been picked about 10 weeks ago before you're getting it from the supermarket, because they're going to be full of chemicals. They're going to be toxic. If you pick it up from down the road where the farmer's literally just picked it from a farm shop, that doesn't need to last as long. It's not going to be sprayed with as many chemicals and pesticides. It's a lower toxic load. It's better for you. So that's what we want to stick to. In terms of water, in terms of drinking, try to drink filtered water. You know, we talked before about with thyroid issues, and one of the things that pushes iodine out is fluoride. And fluoride also has a lot of other negative effects in our body, but one of them is that. And fluoride is in our water, along with a, you know, a ton of other stuff. Our tap water is so contaminated. So filter it. If you can, get it filtered for drinking that. Cooking should be with animal fats. You know, we need these natural animal fats, especially, you know, again, we talked about the gallbladder earlier. For emptying it, you need to consume fat, and especially saturated fat. You should be consuming some good animal fats with every single meal. That keeps your gallbladder emptying, and you are not going to get gallstones. So we need to eat fat. Low fat is the wrong way to go for preventing gallstones. And add salt to your meals. We need salt, but try to get unprocessed sea salts, like Himalayan, Celtic sea salt, like good quality salts, not just any old salt, which again, you got these processed table salts, and guess what? They're going to come with some added chemicals and toxins that we don't want. We're trying to lower our toxic load in our gut by as much as we possibly can. And one of the last things that I just want to mention in food is about organic food. So organic sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds like it's healthy. So yeah, organic food, it's organic, it's going to be good for me. Mostly organic food is a scam. It's if you actually look into what they need to do to be able to put the organic label on, you start to see that it's just, it doesn't mean anything. Now, there'll be some food out there that's organic, which is fine. But a lot of it, the majority of it, organic is just a marketing label. And, you know, if you look at the process of actually how it's made, there's nothing organic about it. So don't worry, just try and avoid stuff that says organic, and just buy. The best way to know that it is organic is to try and buy as direct as possible. Again, I talk about this a lot. Go and buy direct from your local farmer, from your local butchers or greengrocers, a farm shop. Buy direct from these people. Because that's the only way that you can know how organic and how fresh your food is. You know, I get my food with, you know, the majority of my meat, I get direct from a farmer who I know. I speak to him. I know that his cows are all completely grass-fed, grass-finished. I know the quality of the meat I'm getting. So that's important. Where you can, find a local farmer or a good local butcher, or a, you know, a lot of places you can order them online. I mean, the farmer I use is in Wales. It's in a different country. To me, I get it sent to me. You know, a lot of them are doing delivery services. Get your food local, natural, fresh, organic as possible. That's what you need to do. And if you can start eating like that, you can cut out those foods we talked about, starting like that. That's going to improve your gut health. You know, if you're someone who's really, your health is really bad and you've got all these issues, you're going to need more than this. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to probably need to work with someone who is an expert and knows what they're doing. And you're probably going to have to go through a protocol of being, you know, very strict for a while to heal. After that, the good news is that if you heal your gut properly, you don't have to stay that strict forever. So sometimes you have to be strict for a while to heal it. And then, like I said, you can manage some of those other foods again. Obviously, don't go crazy because you know, you'll go back to square one. Some people, their gut is so damaged, they have to stay strict forever. You know, that is the reality for some people. For most people, though, once you heal it, you can eat a bit more freely again. But it's about healing your gut. And I just want to, that's the main point of this episode, is just to get across how important gut health is and that it's something that we have to look at. And it's just so ignored in the mainstream community and the mainstream health. You know, there are people talking about it, but you see a lot of these mainstream health influencers and fitness influencers and coaches, and they're not talking about gut health. They're just, you know, they're just talking about anything, promoting this, just whatever's the common thing, the buzzword or whatever's popular right now. And gut health is where it's at. You know, people have these random protocols like, oh, this detox, do this little detox and this juice cleanse and whatever. But, you know, some of those things can sometimes be useful to a point, but are they addressing the actual problem, which is your gut health? You know, if they just, oh, do this cleanse and it makes you feel better for a week or two, but then you're back to feeling rubbish, what was the point of it? You know, let's look at our gut health. Let's address it. And, you know, all these conditions that I talked about today and all others, they're reversible. That's, again, another thing that I try to get across with this podcast, is that, you know, this is why we share so many people's stories. You know, we've had a lot of guest episodes recently and people sharing stories. And I love that because I want everyone to understand that all of these things are reversible. One of the main things I want to give people is hope. You know, hope's a powerful thing. And most people don't have hope nowadays. You go to the doctor, that's it. You know, I speak to people who've gone to the doctor with Crohn's, and the doctor has said, they've asked them about, you know, is it, should I change my diet? And the doctor said, no, it's nothing to do with diet. Crohn's has nothing to do with diet. This is just how it's going to be forever. You're going to take these drugs and it's going to try and help you manage. Crohn's is literally an illness that is in your digestive system, your bowels, your gut. How could it not be affected by diet? But you've got doctors saying that to people. There's nothing you can do about it. Off you go. You know, parents of autistic children, they're not told that, you know, well, you know what? Actually, if you look to their diet and you changed it up and you started to introduce some other things, you could actually see some improvements. They're not told that. They're just told, look, this is how it is. It's going to be hard. It's going to be on these medications. There you go. Deal with it. That's what they're told. So I want to get that across to people, that hope. These things are reversible. Don't let them tell you otherwise. You don't need to be on drugs. You don't need to be pumping medications in yourself for the rest of your life or into your kids. You can fix it by fixing the gut. So let's start looking at gut health. We're going to do some episodes coming up. Like I said, we're going to do some with Barry where we're going to go deeper into some conditions. Autism is one I really want to go into because, you know, it can be controversial, but it's an important one. And I think it's one, again, that's really not talked about. And most people just left to deal with it, and they're autism and ADHD. And we see so much nowadays, so much. And it's clearly not coming from genetics. It's being caused by stuff. So we're going to look at that. But anyway, thank you so much again for listening. We'll be back next week with another podcast, which, again, will hopefully be educational and you'll enjoy it. And until then, Let's get optimal together.